Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport.
Hello, well, Tottenham, they'll do anything to take the limelight off Arsenal, won't they? Welcome to the first Game Day preview pod of the Jose Mourinho era at Spurs. Yep, Pochettino's place pinched by a proven Portuguese Premier League winner. Daniel Levy and Jose sounds like a match made in heaven, doesn't it? I'll tell you why I'm so shocked by this once I've got my breath back. Also, Manchester City might be 12 points behind Liverpool come Saturday at 5:30. What are we expecting when Frank takes his squad full of internationals to the Etihad? Arsenal and Southampton are another two clubs under the microscope as they clash at the Emirates. And in a battle of the Uniteds, Oli takes the Red Devils across Snake's Pass to Sheffield. And Norway, Eddie ain't happy as his king is wounded on international duty. This is Game Day from TalkSport.
This is Game Day, Premier League preview show.
The Prince of Wales, Danny Gabbadon, has just about sobered up from Tuesday night's Welsh wizardry. Bow was given a flag with Wales, golf, Madrid in that order. If you were tossed the red dragon, would you probably have one that says, I don't know, Wales, grooming, tight-fitting jeans, something like that?
Spot on, mate, spot on.
Nicole Holliday has been the butt of all the jokes over her Arsenal affiliation all season. But today, it's all change. Arsenal fans, I take it, happy or concerned about Jose's new job?
Well, I think Arsenal fans are currently debating whether Poch might come and join us. So that's been quite an interesting one on social media.
Can't see it myself. But anyway, it is a big weekend of Premier League action. The football is back and so is Jose Mourinho.
Fredericks is inside the Crystal Palace box, plays it in, low, it's in! Allaire has scored! West Ham United are in front!
Ball played forward, it's Llorente, flick round the corner. Oh, Lucas Moura! He's done it! He has done it! He's won it! Lucas Moura's got a hat-trick! Tottenham have done it with the last kick of the game! It is the most extraordinary climax you can ever wish to see!
Yarmolenko plays an excellent ball in field. Here is Snodgrass, clean through, and West Ham United have the lead!
Jack Grealish, but he's dispossessed fairly by Lamello, who has a shot. It might come here for Harry Kane! 5 minutes left to play. It's Tottenham Hotspur 2, Aston Villa 1.
Live on game day at 12:30 this Saturday lunchtime. It is West Ham United against Jose Mourinho's Tottenham Hotspur. Now, guys, help me out here. Daniel Levy has spent 6 years building a culture at Spurs. Forget the fact that they haven't won a trophy. He's seen them achieve more, Maurizio Pochettino, than at any other time in their recent history. They've sacked Poch, replaced him with an agitator whose only cultural creed is to build a siege mentality, thereby dismantling all that work with one big £12 million compensation check. Now, look, Jose is a winner. There's no doubt about that. And it had gone stale at Spurs. No doubt about that either. And he'll probably win something. There's probably no doubt about that. But is this the right move, or does it, Danny, highlight the fact that the pressure on Daniel Levy to deliver success and trophies now must be immense?
I think obviously Tottenham not getting over the line with that Champions League victory, obviously in the summer, I think that was a big moment for Tottenham, a chance for them to kind of progress and maybe create a different kind of mentality at the club. And it just seems like it's kind of gone the other way this season. I think they seem to have lost their way, their team spirit, which I think was very strong in the last couple of seasons. I think Pochettino had built a really good dressing room. Obviously, all the talk about players' contracts running down and stuff, I just think it's gone very stale there. And I think the manager included, I think, you know, he hasn't been happy with stuff this season. The players don't look happy. They don't look together on the pitch. So I think it got to a point where Daniel Levy had to do something. I got to say, I'm quite shocked at the timing of it. I thought, you know, if you're going to do that, it would have probably been done just before international duty, but maybe trying to get Mourinho over the line with negotiations, maybe that's just how it's kind of fallen. But I do think something needed to be done because it, you know, it just doesn't look right there. And, you know, this is obviously with Mourinho coming in so quickly as well, this has probably been something that's been going on for, you know, a couple of weeks. I'm sure they've been in talks for a couple of weeks to get it done so quickly. So, you know, Tottenham have acted. I think Daniel Levy generally gives his managers, you know, plenty of time. And you have to say, you know, Poch has done a fantastic job in for the period of time that he's been there. But I do think it has kind of run its course for whatever reason.
Jose Mourinho going into Tottenham. Daniel, can you imagine in 12 months' time, Daniel Levy and Jose Mourinho sitting down to plan their transfer strategy in the January transfer window next year? I mean, it's not going to be a glass of red wine or a bit of kayak rafting in Argentina like he was with Maurizio Pochettino. These two are not going to get on. This is oil and water stuff, this, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, because obviously, I mean, I read earlier that Levy's wanted him at the club for a while, for a few years. I think it's very strange, isn't it? And also, we all know with Mourinho that he needs money. And that's something that Spurs have never really been quick to give. That's been one of their problems.
What, you think he's going to end up on the Dolky or something? Or he needs money to spend?
He needs money to spend, Sam. But then again, they must have discussed this. We don't know what's been said, but they've obviously come to an agreement where Mourinho thinks that he'll be getting what he needs and the support he needs from Levy. But I don't know. It's such a tough one because it has been very stale. We all know that. And I think, in a way, the Champions League final kind of sugarcoated a pretty poor end to the latter part of that last season as well. But he has been great. I mean, Champions League final, top four for the past, 4 years as well? So I think it's quite harsh. But then I think everyone kind of understands. I think what's hit Spurs fans the most is that he's very likeable. And I think they all have a very soft spot for Pochettino. And when you're then getting someone like Jose Mourinho coming in, who's quite a different character, that's going to be very interesting. And how are the players going to react to that as well? Also, the Amazon documentary is going to be fascinating now, isn't it?
Call me cynical, but could this all be because of the fact that Daniel Levy is trying to tie down good players who are coming to the end of their contracts? We all know who they are, Jan Vertonghen, Eriksen, Alderweireld, more of them. And what he's doing is he's basically saying, look, I'm showing you the ambition of this club. I'm trying to win trophies here. You can win trophies here. Sign on the dotted line. And ultimately, that is going to save him a lot more money than paying out 12.5 million, if it was that much, to Maurizio Pochettino in compensation for ripping up his contract, Danny.
I think it's a difficult one because, you know, from what you hear, kind of Pochettino had final say on all transfers and stuff like that. So, you know, knowing Daniel Levy, if he wanted to have sold those kind of players and got some money in, then, you know, he would have done it. So it might be a little bit different where players would look at him and say, you know, almost like how players look at Pep and say, you know, I can learn from this guy. What a fantastic manager he is. You know, everybody had great things to say about him. So maybe, you know, three, four years ago, yes, but, you know, the Mourinho that we've seen kind of at Manchester United, he doesn't look the same person. So I don't think that players will think any different now. You know, Eriksen, I can't see him thinking, oh, sorry, I'm going to sign a new contract because Mourinho's here. I think nothing will change there. I think the question is, will we get a different Mourinho now coming into Tottenham? You know, he's had a lot of time to maybe look at himself and say, look at a few things maybe said and did wrong in previous jobs. And I'm just wondering, with his persona, style of play even as well, will he come back now revamped, refreshed and with new ideas? That's the big question for me.
Yeah, it could be really interesting because he has had this time to self-analyse.
It will be really interesting.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
That's definitely the word. Yeah, he has had time away, so maybe things will be a bit different. Maybe he'll be a bit of a new character from what we've seen before, but I don't know.
Can he do that?
He's just a controversial guy, isn't he? But then I'm quite happy to see him back in the sense of having that sort of character. And I don't know, it'll be interesting.
He's great. He's brilliant. He's a genius. Yeah. He's done fantastic things. I think if you look at Manchester United, even now, you're looking at where they are in the league and how mm-hmm. they've done over since he's left. Okay, you know, you can moan all you like about the way he behaved, especially towards the end, but he got them to second in the league. They won the Europa League and the FA Cup under Jose Mourinho. That's the kind of success that right now, I think most Manchester United fans would bite your arm off. And when he said he was a genius for doing that, do you know what? In retrospect, everyone's looking at it now going, do you know, you might have been right, pal. And Maurizio Pochettino is not walking away from Spurs with an unblemished reputation. Was he going to leave after the Champions League final? Did he feel as if they were getting enough investment? Was he the head coach? Was he the manager? It wasn't the right way to play it. You know, you could tell that it was coming to an end. And ultimately, they haven't won away from home in any domestic competition since January.
Awful.
And doesn't matter who you are, that isn't good enough.
Yeah, that is so bad. That's the thing. I think you kind of, because everyone clings on to the Champions League final, and you do end up forgetting that actually away from home, it's been awful. It really has. It's been very, very poor. Mm. But
it's been worse than Arsenal.
Yeah, I was going to say, Arsenal's away form look amazing.
I know. And, you know, look, something needed to change, obviously. And I think Spurs fans would also agree with that. So it is quite interesting then how sort of badly they've reacted in the sense of, you know, all my friends are Spurs fans. Obviously, straight away, I was messaging them all, how are you feeling? And they are all gutted, which is also a bit of a surprise because the run of form has not been great. So, you know, something had to give. So what was it going to be? But, you know, Jose, controversial.
Quickly, Danny, let's talk about West Ham United because they have been nothing short of useless in the last few matches. Ooh. And the last thing that Manuel Pellegrini would have wanted is to hear that Jose Mourinho is going to turn up and park his tanks on his lawn on Saturday.
It's difficult to talk quickly about West Ham. To be honest, there's so much wrong with them. I mean, I was at the Newcastle game a couple of weeks back and they were woeful. It could have been six or seven. And, you know, this was a Newcastle team that had been struggling for goals, struggling away from home and stuff. And I mean, they looked like Barcelona the way they were playing and, you know, went to Burnley just for the international break. And you kind of knew what was going to happen. You know, when I saw the scoreline after the game, 3-0, I said to myself, I bet like at least two of those goals will be from crosses or set pieces. And you knew exactly what Burnley were going to do to them. They were going to target Roberto, the keeper, who, it's being nice calling him a keeper at the minute, to be honest. He has been a big problem, obviously, with Fabianski being injured. But a lot of people have been targeting the blame on him. And it's more than that. You know, you look at the back four in front of them, the way they've been defending, a real lack of kind of leadership, desire to defend their own goal. Even in forward positions as well, they don't look like scoring at the minute either. The creative players
they
that they got
like scoring, despite the fact they've got Anderson, Allaire,
exactly.
Fornals. I mean, they've got creative Yarmolenko. They've got creative players. Lanzini had to be dropped because he hasn't been contributing enough to the team. They've got creative players, but they don't create enough chances and they don't score enough chances as well.
Yeah, I think mobility, athleticism is a big problem in their team. I think if you look at those attacking players which you mentioned there, Sam, they're all quite similar. You know, kind of number 10 players. I think Mikel Antonio is a massive miss for them being injured because he just adds that different kind of dimension, that counter-attacking pace. You look at Felipe Anderson, I don't know what's happened to him. They don't seem to be getting him in the right ears of the pitch and using his pace. The tempo of their play is too slow. They play in front of teams too much and they find it very difficult to kind of break teams down. And they're not counter-attacking and they're not getting in behind teams, which is very important, as you know, in the Premier League. So they're getting it wrong at both ends for me. Short in midfield. I thought they should have signed another midfielder in the summer. They didn't do that. As you mentioned there, Mark Noble coming towards the end. Declan's probably not going through the best of times at the minute as well, but he's having to play week in, week out because they can't really replace him. And I think you look at the manager above everything, Manuel Pellegrini, just does not, for me, doesn't inspire those players at all. I look at his personality and you know, when you're in a difficult situation and you need maybe a few heads bashing together or a manager to say a few kind of choice words, he just doesn't seem like that guy to me. So I'm really worried about West Ham at the minute. I really am.
Too lower than Spurs. just saying.
Okay, let's move on. Manchester City Chelsea is our other game day encounter, 5:30. Now, this was supposed to be the big game of the weekend. Maybe it still will be by the time we get to Saturday. It's live on TalkSport and around the rest of the world on Premier League Live. I'll be there with Stuart Pearce. Frank Lampard once played for Manchester City, but if he stops Pep Guardiola from winning on Saturday, Nicole, then the title race is definitely over. That's it. We might as well pack our bags and go home.
Yeah, it is a massive game. For me, it's still the big one. Obviously, we're all going to be watching Jose Mourinho, but City and Chelsea are third and fourth joint on points at the moment in the league. Chelsea have had six consecutive wins, and they're looking great under Frank Lampard. So I think it's a tough one because the loss to Liverpool for City, that was a big one, because now every game is so, so crucial. And this is going to be a tough one, I think. Both teams will really, really want that win. So it's for me, it's still going to be the big one of the weekend. It's got to be.
Pro-City people will tell you, and quite rightly so, that the games between Tottenham and Manchester City, complete mismatch. They should have got all 3 points in that game. The game against Liverpool, they should have got something out of it just before the international break. My view on that actually is, yes, they played very well, but only once they had gone behind quite considerably in that game and they sort of got back into it and started to show signs of life. But I think they were shocked in the first half an hour of that match. But Chelsea, the last time they went to the Etihad, thrashed 6-0 last season when Maurizio Sarri was in charge. They were ripped apart, and it is going to be an open game because both these teams like to play open football. And Chelsea, let's be clear, they have to be a little bit careful, Danny, because defensively they're still suspect.
They are. I think for me, Chelsea are probably playing the best football in the league. And I mean, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. I think they were a joy to watch going forward. But as you say, Sam, I think defensively still weaknesses there, particularly set pieces. As you said, you look at this game and I think Man City have scored the most goals at home. Chelsea have scored the most goals away from home. So they get out in front and it seems then like the second half, they almost run out of steam a little bit and allow the opposition back in and to get a goal or two. But their football's been outstanding. And looking at Frank coming in the summer, that's what I had my eye on the most. What would he be like kind of tactically? I thought, you know, he'd be a good man manager going into Chelsea, knowing the club inside out. But being an inexperienced manager, I thought, what will he be like tactically? How will he get Chelsea playing? And he's been nothing short of outstanding in that respect. But I think this is a good gauge for where Chelsea are now playing Man City. Because as I said, they've been in good run of form. Away from home, they've been very good as well. Looking for their eighth consecutive win, going to the Etihad. But they've had a good run of fixtures as well. So this is their first kind of real test.
Yeah, that's worth pointing
on this good
that
run. So it's
out.
A good barometer to this game of seeing exactly where they are, I think.
Because this is a team that have actually, you know, with all due respect, they've won 7 in the away games in a row. But their best result and their standout result in that run is the victory in Amsterdam against Ajax. Apart from that, most of the opponents that they have played are teams you would expect Chelsea to beat. Aguero scored in the international break. He's netted 8 goals in his last 6 games against Chelsea. Jesus missed the penalty for Brazil against Argentina on Friday night. Why are you shaking your head for?
Because it was horrendous.
Awful. But he'd missed one, a week or 2 weeks before, didn't he?
He loves a penalty miss. Oof. He loves a penalty miss. Who would you start up front?
If you go on goals, it has to be Aguero. He loves playing against Chelsea. His goals record in recent games against
Chelsea. But Jesus is very good at making... upsetting people and getting in people's faces. I mean, he calls defenders all sorts of issues because he's an absolute harasser, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Chelsea, you know, they like to play out from the back. They like to try and build the play from deep. So I just wonder whether or not actually against Chelsea, he might be quite effective.
Maybe, but Aguero is incredible. He is, I mean, of course, both very talented players, but if Aguero's in my team, he's starting. You disagree
no,
with me?
No, I don't. It's hard.
Are we about to have a fight?
No, it's hard not to agree.
I mean, look, but there's so many talented players in that squad. But this is the thing with City, is they do have that depth. That's one of their strongest points as a team. They have that depth in their squad. And I just, Aguero, I just think, for me, he's a different level personally. And yeah, for me, he would be starting.
Well, Chelsea's attack is pretty lively and everyone is chipping in. Abraham, as you mentioned, he's scored more away goals this season than 15 Premier League clubs. That's
amazing.
Pretty impressive.
Amazing.
Mount scored on his international duty, so his first ever England goal, so he'll be buoyed by that. Jorginho scored another penalty brutally.
Great.
Take note, Jesus. Yeah. This is how you do it. Pulisic and James also playing very well. But can they outscore Manchester City? We'll find out this Saturday. And TalkSport is your place for game day three. Premier League commentaries back to back to back. West Ham against Tottenham kicks us off. Manchester City versus Chelsea finishes Saturday. On Sunday, it's Sheffield United against Manchester United. And here's Tom Rennie taking a look.
Can the Blades cut another of the Premier League's big six down to size in Manchester United? They've already beaten Arsenal this season, should have picked up victory at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea, and they were so good in the controversial draw with Tottenham, it all but cost Maurizio Pochettino his job. Sheffield United are unbeaten in five Premier League matches. Victory here would be their best run of wins at home in the top flight since 1993. They'll have to do it without keeper Dean Henderson, however, who can't play against his parent club. For Manchester United, they are slowly but surely climbing the table. Back-to-back wins over Norwich and Brighton has seen the gloom lift at Old Trafford. And the youthful exuberance of their side is something to enjoy too. Against the Seagulls, United fielded the youngest starting 11 in the Premier League so far this season, with an average age of 23 years and 350 days. In fact, all of their Premier League goal scorers this season have been aged 23 and under, with Anthony Martial, their oldest scorer so far this season, still a few weeks shy of his 24th birthday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Now, does anyone remember the draw that lost Liverpool the title at Selhurst Park?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately.
You know why? That's because you're negative, you. Yeah, you're negative. The fact is, Crystal Palace have lost six of their last seven Premier League matches with Liverpool, including the last four in a row. And win this, and by the time City kick off in that big match that we've got live on game day and around the world on Premier League Live, they will be 12 points ahead of Manchester City. Is that what is going to happen, Danny Gabbadon?
I certainly hope so, being a Liverpool fan myself. But, I mean, this is a tricky game. Never easy going to Selhurst Park. As you say there, though, Sam, Liverpool's kind of record in recent games going there has been pretty good. You know, I always worry for not just Liverpool, but, you know, coming off the back of international duty, you never know how teams are kind of going to perform. Palace will be looking at that and thinking this might be an opportunity to catch Liverpool cold, albeit every single Liverpool player seemed to drop out of international duty. I think Van Dijk dropped out, Robertson dropped out, Salah I think didn't go with Egypt, Gomez obviously dropped out, Henderson dropped out. So you would actually expect probably Liverpool to be quite fresh going into this game, but it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I can't see Liverpool not getting the result. Obviously Palace, the last couple of games, they've come up against stiff opposition. You know, top three, four teams and weren't able to pick up any points. So they'll be looking to get back to winning ways. But I can't see past Liverpool, and in particular Sadio Mane, the form that he's in at the minute. I can't see them slipping up.
You've got a foot in both camps. You're a Liverpool fan.
And an ex-Palace player. Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't have thought that, though, from what I just said. Would you? Heavily biased towards Liverpool.
Just tell me what it's like, though. Because one of the things that I always find when I go to Selhurst Park, when they play the big teams, they create such a great atmosphere down there. It can be quite intimidating. Were you sort of aware of that, knowing that when the big boys come down, you thought, yeah, we can have you?
Yeah, 100%. You knew that the big teams coming here, they wouldn't enjoy the stadium. It's old-fashioned. The fans are very close to the pitch. And you knew, like, if you kind of could start quick as well and get the home fans behind you and try and get the opposition on the back foot, then you'd have a good chance of maybe getting the result.
What are the changing rooms like?
They're slightly better now from when I was there. There wasn't a lot of money when I was there, to be fair.
Like going into a...
It is.
You go down the tunnel.
Single file,
like
almost.
Like it's awful.
Yeah.
It's so claustrophobic. You sort of start to panic a little bit, don't you?
Well, when we actually got promotion to the Premier League, that was when Steve Parish started to loosen the purse strings a little bit and started making slight improvements to the training ground and the stadium and stuff like that.
Hot water and stuff like that.
Yeah, and a proper like stereo system in the home dressing room and things like that. So, it's probably moved on again now.
Things.
Yeah, well, you've got the music's got to be spot on. I was actually the DJ actually.
Were dressing, you?
Yeah, I was in charge of the tunes. But yes, it's slightly better now. But it's still a very intimidating place to go. As I said, the form Liverpool are kind of in at the minute. Can't see them not getting a result there.
Nicole, Palace had a bright start, didn't they? Four without a win now, though. And it's sort of strange, really, because they set up well. Their shape is very good. If Liverpool take their eye off the ball, though, or start thinking about the Champions League game in midweek against Napoli, then there is a chance, isn't there, that maybe Palace could throw a spanner in the works?
I mean, there's always a chance, isn't there? But I was going to say that. They did have a good start to the season, but I think, like we've said, you know, they faced City, Arsenal, and I think Leicester and Chelsea in their last four games. So, you know, obviously it's not obviously, because you never know with football, and that is the magic of it. But those fixtures were always going to be very tough to get some points from. I don't think they're conceding much at home, actually, but then they're not scoring very much either. So it's going to be, it will be an interesting one, but do I think that they can nick anything? Oh, probably not. Liverpool are so good. Also, I want to see Ox starting. What do we think about that? I think he's been so good, scoring some amazing goals at the moment.
I still think he's not quite there yet. I know he's been scoring goals, but I think all-around performance, and I think he said it a couple of weeks ago as well, he's still... feels like he's not quite where he should be, you know, defensive side of the game and things like that. He still, to me, looks a little bit...
shaky?
A little bit tentative. And he's not quite where he's at, but don't get me wrong, his goal-scoring form has been outstanding. And I think that's probably masked a little bit his all-round performances, but great to kind of see him back.
Great for Jurgen Klopp, though. He's getting minutes whilst he's going away on international duty as well, actually. It helps him in terms of match sharpness and stuff like that. If you were putting some tracks on to build up to this game, what would you spin in the dressing room this weekend?
DJ.
It'd be like some kind of deep house or something like that, House or a bit of Drake or something.
What does that sound like? Bit of Drake.
Yeah.
That's
try and mix
talking,
it up.
Though, Drake, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. He does try and sing a little bit as well, doesn't he? But try and just cater for the masses, for everybody, a little bit of everything. But Palace will be a difficult nut to crack. You know, Chelsea struggled a couple of weeks ago. They got over the line in the end, but it took them. They had to be really patient. And you never like playing Palace if you're a top six side or whatever, because you know they're just going to sit back. They're a counter-attacking team. Even though they're playing at home, they don't change their style of play. And, an early goal can be important against them to make them kind of come out and the spaces open up. So it won't be an easy game. Won't be an easy game at all for Liverpool.
OK, let's get to Vicarage Road, where we've got the footballing equivalent of a bit of folk against some hard rock. Watford against Burnley. Here's Tom Rennie.
Finally, some good news at Watford. No, the long-running saga of their new crest fan vote hasn't been resolved. Will it be the Hart or the Hornet? Stay tuned for an announcement soon. No, they actually won a game before the international break. Yes, it was against a truly not ready for this league, Norwich, but it doesn't matter. Quique Sanchez-Flores finally has something to celebrate since his return to the club. Despite the cautious optimism, they remain winless in 10 home games in the league, so the return of Troy Deeney, an unused sub at Carrow Road, could be a timely boost. Burnley battered the hapless Hammers to end their recent slide before the international break, with the deadly duo of Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood both signing contracts and scoring goals. And look out for Dwight McNeil in this one too. He's already picked up 4 assists this campaign, and with those two up front to aim for, there will be more.
Yeah, Watford Burnley should be a fascinating game. Brighton against Leicester. Brighton, 3 straight wins at home, unbeaten since Saints won there in August. Let's dissect it and find out who could be the pivotal men during this encounter with Dream Team's Andrew Butler. Hello.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing? It feels like it's been ages.
Good. It does. And you remember when you told me last time you were in, we saw you and you'd been playing football and someone gave you a black eye?
Yes, I do.
I played at Wembley this week.
Oh.
I played on Wembley, the big pitch, everything. I can't move now. I'm stiff as a board. But it was fantastic.
How
what
did
a great
it go?
Experience. No one gave me a black eye. I did okay. We'll just say that. That's all. I could do no more than that.
We lost
on penalties.
Oh, that's disappointing. Slightly less glamorous. I got off the mark this season. Hackney Marshes at the weekend, scored my first goal.
Did you?
I might not have played at Wembley, but I did get my first.
Talking of goals, the Premier League's top scorer has 3 goals in 3 games against Brighton. But Ricardo Pereira of Portugal and Leicester City, he must be picking up a few points.
Yeah, he's doing fantastically well. 71 points so far this season. 3.8 million as well in the game. So definitely worth a shout. It's another man on the Leicester backline that I want to talk about, though. Chanlar Soyuncu, at 2.6 million in the game, has been having a fantastic season. He's been, you know, he's been a real revelation. All the Leicester fans are kind of saying, Harry who? Didn't need Maguire. They call him Cags in the dressing room, apparently, because no one knows how to say his first name. But
do you know, they also think he looks like Lord Farquhar of Shrek.
Yes, I can see that. I mean, yeah, Lord Farquhar isn't 6'1" like Cags is, but he's been having a brilliant season, and his score on Dream Team reflects it as well. 57 points, and a real bargain to be having.
Anyone in the Brighton team that we should be looking at?
Well, I mentioned a few weeks ago about the number of teams that haven't got a player with over 40 points so far in Dream Team. Now, Brighton are still one of those clubs, and they're one of 3 now. Brighton, Crystal Palace and Newcastle, only 3 clubs who haven't got players of over 40 points. So it's quite slim pickings is what I'm saying. Neil Mope is their top scorer with 34, but he's in the game at 2.5 million.
Trossard
is... Yeah. He's in the game at 2.6. He's got 23 points. He's not going to get you big points. I mean, Brighton have been doing superbly, I think we can all agree, but their performances haven't been transferring over to points in Dream Team so far this season.
Okay, so basically they're playing well as a team, but there's no standout individuals.
Correct.
Bit like this podcast.
Hey.
Right, Everton against Norwich. Thiemo Pukki has scored 5 goals since September the 14th, but all of them have been for Finland. He's gone 8 Premier League games without a goal. Is that going to change this weekend?
Well, I kind of hope so, because I think we all enjoyed Pukki kind of like kicking on from the Championship into the Premier League, and his, like you say, his early season form was absolutely fantastic. And then since then, I mean, similarly with Norwich, kind of like if he doesn't play well, Norwich haven't really been winning. I fear for Norwich at the moment, because obviously since that amazing result over Man City, they've not been in great shape at all. Pukki's still their top scorer, 54 points, in at 3.2 million. But, I mean, he's going for a real dry spell at the moment. But he did really enjoy his international break. I thought the scenes in Finland when they qualified for the Euros next year was absolutely amazing to see. I know that Norwich even sent over a team of people to sell Norwich merchandise with Pukki as well. In Finland.
Norwich City store in Finland as a result of it, yeah.
And
great. I mean, it's a great story, actually, isn't it? I mean, Danny, I mean, look, what do you think of Thiemo Pukki? Because he did start the season so very, very well and then ended up dropping off a little bit. I mean, is he going to be able to rekindle his form, or is he finished?
No, I don't think he's finished. I rate him very highly. I think his movements.
No, he is definitely finished.
Yes. Sorry.
We're on Talk Sport.
I'm still a bit worse for wear from last night. So no, he's. I think he's a very good striker. You give him service, he will score goals. His movements, excellent. But it's just Norwich are going for a really, really bad patch at the minute. You know, conceding too many goals, and I think the chances that were being created from earlier in the season have now dried up a little bit as well. But I mean, you have to see him when he's playing for Finland and stuff as well. And you know, he knows where the goal is, and you know, still a very confident striker. I mean, I just think he's just lacking a bit of service at this moment in time. So I did have him in my fantasy team.
Had to take him out.
He was underperforming, as you said. So I had to replace him.
To read him the right act.
I did.
Get out.
I did.
Oh, I had such high hopes for Pukki at the start of the season. Cheering him on.
And then he did well. And then he's
and
not
then
done
he's
so well.
Off, yeah.
He's having a nightmare, yeah.
There were lots of high hopes for Everton as well at the beginning of the campaign, but it certainly hasn't been a success. And after Norwich, they've got Leicester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester United and Arsenal in that order. They better win against Norwich, otherwise any relief that Silva got before the international break when they played Southampton will very soon disappear. Who can save him, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing their run of fixtures. They could genuinely be in the relegation zone by Christmas. And it's quite a bizarre thing to think that Everton could be in that bad a way. But a man that you probably should get in before Christmas as well is Richarlison. Now, his form at the back end of last season was not the best, it's fair to say. Before January last year, he got 9 goals and 2 assists. This and then after January, he got 4 goals, no assists. So he might be a kind of a top-heavy player in terms of like the start of the season. So far, he's only got 3 goals and 2 assists, which is reasonable. But he's in the game at 3.5 million. He's only been picked by 2.8% of teams as well. So he's a decent gamble, I suppose. But I don't know if you really want to be gambling on any Everton players at this stage in the game.
They haven't got any forwards either, have they? I mean, it's been an absolute nightmare for them at the start of the season when they had relatively easy fixtures. Listen, thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate you coming
in
to see us. Always good to see you. Monday night sees Aston Villa take on Newcastle United. It's the Steve Bruce Derby. And here's Tom Rennie.
Aston Villa's return to the Premier League is in danger of getting stuck in a bottom-of-the-table quagmire. 3 defeats on the spin, including in the derby against Wolverhampton Wanderers, have left the villains just outside the drop zone after 12 games. Injuries have hit them hard in that run, with doubts over Tom Heaton, Jack Grealish, Matt Target and others as we head towards Monday night football. Newcastle United have won their last 2 Premier League games and are looking to win 3 in a row for the first time since November 2018. It's a fine time then for Steve Bruce to return to the club that sacked him after a run of 1 win in 9 championship games at the start of the 18-19 season, just days after a fan famously threw a cabbage at him in disgust. Bruce took the villains to the playoff final during his tenure, and despite that loss to Fulham, history may look kinder on the job he did at Villa Park than emotional eyes allowed at the time. One big piece of injury news for the Magpies since their win over Bournemouth, captain Jamal Lascelles is out until the new year with a knee injury.
2 more clubs in peril. Saints have picked up 1 point from the last 21. That's 1 point in 7 matches. Arsenal have won once in 7 games. Nicole, will we be taking the mick out of you again on Monday morning? Or is this a gimme?
Oh, I don't know anymore, Sam. I say this
look
every
at the pain
time.
Etched on your face.
Well, I mean, look, Southampton, they're not doing well at all at the moment. They're 19th. You know, they lost 9-0 to Leicester, recently lost to Everton, who are also struggling. So you would think, especially Arsenal being at home at Emirates Stadium, you would naturally be backing Arsenal. However, this season so far, I just don't know. I mean, no, I am feeling quite confident. You've got to be against Southampton. No disrespect to them, but at the moment, they are having a very tough time. But then everything that's gone on behind the scenes at Arsenal with Xhaka, with the captaincy, and I think it's a bit of a mess there as well. So hopefully the international break has done everyone good and will come out and give it a good shot and get 3 points and it will be magical. But do am I, you know, completely confident in that? No, probably not.
Arsenal have not won a single league game convincingly this whole season. I mean, they've won 4 games out of 12 and somehow they're 6 in the league. You and I, Danny, did a podcast really early in the season and the Arsenal fans were getting really chirpy and they were like, see, this is going to be a brilliant season. Mm. We're going to win the league. We've won the first 3 games or something like that. And you said, careful, don't get carried away just yet. Who have you played? And it's turned out to be an absolutely perfect prediction because they have been, at times, so unreliable, it's untrue. I mean, he doesn't know what his best formation is. He played a back three against Leicester City, and they were so far second best, it was unreal. I just do not know what the identity of this team is supposed to be. You know, you've got Pepe, I mean, sitting on the bench, 72 million quid's worth of player that has not delivered so far. I know players take time to fit into the Premier League, but it's taking too long, isn't it?
He should be doing a lot better than he is, I think, with the time that he's had. He's had time to bring players in. I mean, Pepe, for instance, why they didn't even need him. They had enough attacking players.
That
they needed to strengthen in the midfield area and centre-back area. They didn't do that. Well, they did, actually. They bought a centre-half and loaned him back for 30-odd minutes, which I couldn't understand either. The French boy, Salida or something, is it? Made no sense to me whatsoever. As you said there, Emery, he's changing the system, changing the personnel every game, doesn't know his best team. You know, defensively, you know, poor, conceding goals. Obviously, you had the stuff with Xhaka going on as well with the captaincy. It just seems that the players are not buying into what he is all about. I think Arsenal have a good squad and could be doing a lot better, probably if they had a manager who could get his ideas
like
across.
Like Mauricio Pochettino, for
example. And, well, yeah, someone like Poch might be a... Nicole, what do you think?
Oh, I don't. You know what? I knew at some point that this was going to be put to me this week.
He's not going to do that.
He won't. But actually, he is a brilliant manager.
He would sort them out.
I think, I think it would be very, very interesting. Obviously, I mean, what, doing a Sol Campbell? It would be a bit strange. But I don't think
he'd be able to go out in and around North London much. Southampton are under serious pressure. Ralph knows that after this will be their real test of their credentials, though, because they follow this game with Arsenal with matches with Watford and Norwich at home, then Newcastle away, then it's West Ham and Villa. Basically, if he doesn't get the most out of those fixtures, he's gone.
Totally agree. I was actually at the Everton game just before international break, and they were... nothing short. They were woeful, woeful. And again, a manager playing three at the back. The system didn't work for me. All Everton did was they sat on a three-quarter kind of press. They didn't press the centre-backs, let them have the ball. And Southampton didn't know what to do. They couldn't play through Everton. They couldn't get the ball to their attacking players. And within 15, 20 minutes, the crowd had kind of turned there. They got themselves back in the game second half. But defensively, they are... all over the place. And again, I could not understand their recruitment in the summer. They needed to buy a centre-back. They went with what they had last season, Vestergaard, Bednarek, trying to play a back three. And I think it's 29 goals conceded now, most in the league, and 11 scored, which is one of the lowest in the league. So, you know, issues at both ends. So, Sam, as you say, the next 3 or 4 games now for Hasenhüttl are massive, and I really fear for Southampton because they're not going to beat Arsenal on the weekend. No chance.
No chance. You're confident. More confident than me.
No. Let's move on to Bournemouth versus Wolves quickly. Josh King out for probably 2 weeks. Eddie's not happy at all because Norway played him twice for 90 minutes over the international break, even though they could not qualify. Why? Why would he do that? That's mad. And Josh King is a rich source of goals, especially at the moment for them, Nicole.
I think this is going to be a very good game, very tight, because obviously Bournemouth 9th, Wolves 8th at the moment. Both doing very well. I love Eddie Howe. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a great manager. Obviously, because there's so many managers having issues so far this season, there's a lot of talk about him replacing other managers at other clubs. But I think that's, you know, a bit...
He never goes, does he?
No,
he
and also...
They all talk about it, but he never goes anywhere.
And in a way, why would he? You know, he's very successful. I think he's doing a great job. And you never know, the grass is always greener, isn't it? So you never know what might happen if he did go elsewhere. I think Callum Wilson has been good. Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. I don't know who
not
I'm backing.
Not scored enough recently, has he?
No, that's five goals, I think, far this season. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a tight one. I don't know who I would back in this one.
They're looking for back-to-back home wins, Bournemouth, aren't they? And I think I'd like to see Bournemouth this season just show a bit more consistency. They're so patchy. You know, they'll go on a run of four or five games where they're good and then they'll just fall off a cliff for 10 games. And you just like to see
but
them...
It's Bournemouth.
Well...
It is Bournemouth.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is basically a third division.
I know, it's
team,
amazing.
And they're in the Premier League.
Yeah. But you expect more from them.
I mean, I don't understand why someone didn't turn around and say, Eddie Howe, by the way, you want to come to Tottenham? This is a really good idea. Mm. We've got this great facilities. We've got this great stadium. You're a coach that builds for the future. You get your players behind you and you play attractive football. Talk about perfect fit. I do not get it.
He's done an incredible job, you know, to get them established and... Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about set pieces. It was a little bit of a surprise to me, that stat as well, Sam. But you look at that goal they scored at Newcastle, that innovative corner where Wilson on the near post. And I think Eddie Howe's come out before and said, you know, they're very meticulous with their set pieces. They run for everything and at the back of the stand there in the Vitality, they go through all their set pieces on a match day and stuff. So maybe it's not as much a surprise as you would think, but... I agree with Nicole. I think this will be a tight game because Wolves, I think, are 7 and beaten. They're running into form now after their slow start to the season. And Wolves are iffy defending set pieces, actually, as well. So that's something that Bournemouth will be looking to take advantage of. But I think it's a key game for Bournemouth, obviously, being a home game. And then you look at their fixtures coming up after this, Tottenham, Palace, Liverpool and Chelsea.
Ooh.
Tough games. So I think Eddie will be targeting this game as a must win, I think.
Good luck to them. Okay, it's time for this. Yes, the commentator's curse. Players that we're going to put the mockers on this week by giving a statistical reason as to why they should do very well in this round of matches. And I'm going to put the commentator's curse on Bournemouth's Callum Wilson because he's without a goal in 5 Premier League matches. Surely it's time to end that run. With Josh King not available, the onus is in on Callum Wilson's shoulders. But he's only ever had a longer drought 18 months ago when he went 12 games without a goal. So surely, it's about time that he scored and he's going to do it this weekend. What you got for me, Nicole?
I am actually backing Arsenal. I'm going for Aubameyang, new captain. I know, shocker. 8 goals so far this season. And I do think Southampton are the sort of opponent that, you know, Arsenal want this weekend. Perfect chance for him to get a few goals. I'm going to back Captain Aubameyang.
Aubameyang is your captain. I mean, it's just beggars belief, doesn't it? I mean, he's hardly the most talkative character on the field of play. I saw them last Saturday, two Saturdays ago. He was the captain that day. I don't think he spoke to anybody. He just spent most of his time 15 miles from everybody else on the left-hand side.
I know. I mean,
it's unreal.
He's
but
not
then
a
you
captain.
Look at the squad.
Who elected him?
I know, but then you look at the squad and you go, who is a captain?
Bellerin.
Oh, but
Bellerin.
Why though? Everyone keeps saying
and
this.
And he is fantastic, by the way. He is fantastic, by the way, Bellerin. I think he's a great right back. They've got two great fullbacks.
Sure,
as well.
But he spends half his time injured
on that game against Leicester. They had to play a game. They played a game on Wednesday night in the Europa League, which they didn't need to win, and they played Kieran Tierney. They went to Leicester, a game that they must win against a team that were vying with them for a place in the top four, and he leave Kieran Tierney out. I mean, honestly,
can't be a signing.
He's absolutely
that's
comical.
Not his signing. That is not an Emery signing. That's why he's not buying into
but he's
Tierney
brilliant,
yet.
Tierney.
He is.
He's great. He's so
anyway,
great.
Moving on. Let's go to Danny's commentator's curse because you can't keep going on about
it. Okay, so my commentator's curse is going to be Jamie Vardy, and this is exactly why. He's outscored every player in the Premier League since Brendan Rodgers took over at Leicester City. 23 games under Rodgers, he scored 20 goals and 3 assists. Top goal scorer, obviously, in the Premier League at the minute with 11 goals. He's got 6 goals in his last 4 games. That's, well, his last return where he was scoring those kind of goals was 2015, obviously when he went on that consecutive run of 11 goals in 11 games or whatever it was. If you like your fantasy league football, he's the top actually points getter in that as well, if you're into that. Obviously retired from international football, so he's been in Dubai, I'm sure,
living
with his
dream.
Feet up, so he's going to be fresh, ready to go. And teams outside the top six, he's averaging more than a goal a game against those kind of teams. So there's no way he cannot score, is there, on the weekend?
And he scored three in his last three against Brighton.
Oh, I forgot
there
that
There you
one.
Go.
That just tops it off then.
You had every other stat.
And Brighton have never beaten them in the Premier League either, Leicester. There you go. So.
Oh, there we go. Danny, Nicole, thank you very much. I've loved your company throughout the course of the pod. We're back next week with Premier League Game Day Preview Pod, hitting your iPod or your mobile phone or whatever you use to listen to your podcast at 5 a.m. every Thursday morning. If you want to subscribe, you can do so via iTunes, Acast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. Laura Woods and Adrian Dunn will have the verdict for you over the weekend. On Monday morning, you'll get the record book with Danny Kelly. See you next week.
That was a Game Day Premier League preview show. A TalkSport exclusive podcast.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on TalkSport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.